a great report, isn't he? God is good. Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, God is good. Amen. God is good. Yeah, it's great to be back. The last 2 weeks, we were, myself and Sharon was in America. Not on a holiday, I have to say. People keep saying to enjoy a holiday. It was a good break, where it wasn't a holiday. I was in 4 states, like in America, and that's a lot of driving. But it was brilliant. The reason why we went, I was invited to speak at a conference. The Assembly of God of America, who we have, there's the Assembly of God of Ireland, the Assembly of God of England, etc., etc., and they're all independent, but we have relationship. We have relationship connections more than like governmental or anything like that. So we know a lot of American Assemblies of God people because Pastor Gary Davidson came over here 36 years ago and started St. Mark's, and out of that, the Assemblies of God of Ireland exists. And what a tremendous job and what a commitment to us as Irish people that he has made, him and his wife Wilma. So Assemblies of God of America started in 1914. So it was 100 years old this year. And they have impacted the world. In fact, they said that there's 67 million members of the Assemblies of God around the world. Can you imagine that? If the Assemblies of God was a country, they'd be bigger than Britain and France. And you'd fit Ireland into that so many times, just as a nation and whatever. These people have impacted the world. Why? Because the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they took for real God saying, go into the world and change the world. They took it for real. And so there was a big conference on, and I was asked to go and speak at this conference. Now, what a privilege and an honor. I think they could have picked a million other people. And he chose to pick this little fella from Liberty Church, from inner city Dublin, to address a global summit about what God is doing and what God wants to do. And it's just really amazing. And we had more steaks and ribs than you could ever imagine. More Mexican food. My goodness, we ate well. But it was really, really amazing. And one of the nights at the conference, there was a man speaking. There was about 10,000 people there that evening or more. And just worshiping God with that amount of people is a treat in itself, you know. And we were up on a balcony, Sharon and I, and this man gave an altar call. And it was like, will you lay down your life? So me and Sharon got off our seats and we went down. And we got on our knees. And I looked at Sharon and says, the last time we came from a balcony down to an altar call was the 22nd of March, 1989. On a Tuesday evening at 9:40. In fact, it probably was around that time. And I looked at Sharon and I said, the last time we were on our knees was the night we gave our lives to Jesus 25 years ago. And all we could say is, Jesus, we'll just give it all again to you. And if you can use these lives, we're yours. And I don't believe I was just representing me, Sharon. Because as the leader of Liberty Church, I represent all you guys. So it wasn't Noel getting up to speak, it was Liberty. It wasn't Noel getting up to tell stories of God's, what God is doing through Noel. It was Noel getting up to tell what God is doing through you. And we just had the best of time. And I was in Houston. And I was in actually Keith and Rebecca's church. And I was spent some time with their leaders and their pastors. And I met this man, Mike, who was visiting Ireland. Mike is a way of. And he says, I want to come and visit Liberty when he gets to Ireland, and sure enough, he turns up this morning, and it's great to have you here, and I hope you enjoy, and I hope your time in Ireland is prosperous and a blessing to you and whatever you're doing here. Amen? And just let me plug again that the Fire Conference. Guys, I want you to catch the magnitude of this, right? In last year, we usually have a Fire Conference in February, which we will have again. And the idea behind the Fire Conference is what God is doing in Liberty is to open it up to the city. And so last year, I was like, we're building this out of a fivefold ministry perspective and building this basically for the next few years on apostles and prophets. Because the Bible says they're the foundation. They're the foundations. Layers. Jesus is the cornerstone. They're the foundation layers. And so I says to the Lord, but I don't know any of these people, Lord. I looked around Ireland, and those who were emerging into this, I invited them in. Youth were all at it. But like, there's people that are established in apostolic and prophetic movement and anointing. And these are the guys that make things happen. Pastors can mind you, but apostles and prophets can make heaven come to earth. It's what's on them. And so I says, Lord, if this is to continue, Lord, you have to connect me with people. And I kid you not, that was February. Again, March was over. I was in the midst of people that people would pay to get into the city. And they were contacting me. And I was like, Lord, you're in this. And the Lord told me a promise, and I'm not the only one he's spoken to by any stretch of the imagination, but God says to me, if you go after the people nobody wants, I'll give you the people everybody wants. Ray was, I believe, just recently done something in Israel. 10,000 people was at his conference. Bethel, where Bill Johnson is, just had the month of worship school. If anyone see it online, or like, I know Suzette from Air Church and Gray went to it, and people from all over the world, they had Ray Ewis speak 11 times at that conference. I want to tell you, this guy is high caliber. Now, it's after getting out, because we're opening this up to the city and to the nation, so it's after getting out there, because people know who this fella is. He's one of the ones that everybody wants, and God's given to us. I think when he got off the phone to me, he rang Keith's pastor saying, man, you want to meet this fella that we met? And I'm like, my goodness, Ray. He rang me about 8 times since, and I'm like, will you stop stalking me, man? Like, I'm paying hard to get now, you know what I mean? And, but what I'm telling you this, if you don't book in, you won't be getting in. That's what I'm really trying to say. Don't take it for granted. This is a nice liberty thing, and we can just turn up and not buy a ticket, or we buy it on the day. It's online, and people in other churches around the country are actually buying them online. So please go online, see Louise today or Sharon today and say, look, book me in for this. Don't take it for granted. I come to Liberty, I get a seat. You don't. Because this is work. This is us blessing the city. The good news is Ray will be speaking in Finglas at 6 o'clock on the Saturday. He'll be speaking in Bray on the Sunday, and he'll be speaking in Clondalkin on the Sunday evening. So all of the locations will be getting some of this guy. And here's the measure of the man. I says, when I met him, because this guy knows how to release the sound of God into the air. And you know that God has been speaking to me about this for a couple of years. He knows what I don't know I'm talking about. And I says, Ray, you're willing to come to Finglas where there's 20 people in the community believing for God to bring revival there? He says, I'll do anything you ask. Are you willing to come to Clondalkin where there's a handful of people? I'll do anything you ask. He's just had to come up from a conference of 10,000. But that's the measure of a man of God. It's not about ministry and numbers, it's about heaven on earth. So I'd expect you all to sign up. If you're not, you're going to miss out, and everyone's going to go, you missed the conference, you missed this. Were you there when the word of God, the sound of God, was released into Dublin on the 12th and 13th of September? No, I didn't make it because of unbook it and book it. Believe me, that's how highly I think of this man. Amen. Father, bless your word to us. We just thank you for your favor that's upon Liberty. Lord God, it's just so many dynamics that go on in the space of a week. Lord, we just celebrate those salvations. We truly do, Lord God. Stephen Gerrity told me he went to cream for something last night in a house, and he led a guy to the Lord. Jesus, we just celebrate. We know angels celebrate, and we celebrate, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you that your hand is not too short to save. No matter where their people are at, no matter where their families are at, Lord, we just reach out to them, Lord, and we call them into the kingdom. And we just break open, Lord, the blinkers that's on them, Lord, and we say, blind eyes see, in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Lord, for the influx that is on its way, Lord God, into the kingdom, Lord God. And we bless you that, Lord, you're allowing us to be part of your plan, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2-6. You know, and this is just after Elijah takes on Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab was the king, and Ahab was the puppet, and Jezebel was the person who controlled the puppet. And so what they done was the Lord goes and speaks to the prophet, because they were chasing after other gods. Elijah not being on the scene, it's like God puts him into the centerpiece of all history now by announcing, this is what God is saying to you, Ahab. This is what God is saying to you, Jezebel. They had gone on to worship the Phoenician god called Baal. And Baal was a god that had many other deities attached to it that even demanded the sacrifice of children. And this is where God's people was at. And you know, I don't know about you, but that terrifies me in some way. That God's people can go to such an extreme of worshiping the king of the universe and then go to an extreme by chasing other gods to even sacrificing children. So Elijah turns up and he goes, this is what God is saying to you. There's going to be no rain. There's going to be famine on this land till I say so. Now, there's a brave man. And there's a man that knew God spoke. He says, God has given me a word, and it's only at my word will it rain again in Israel. And he speaks it, and then immediately God says to him, I want you to go to this place where we're going to read. So he turns up, he makes a decree of God, and God then says to him, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here and turn eastward and hide in the Kareth ravine east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kareth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. And there the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. Amen. God says to him, I want you to go there. And it's there I will get the ravens to eat for you. I will drop the food for you. It is there at Kareth ravine, east of the Jordan. It is there where I want you to hide. Kareth actually means, that word Kareth, you can put that word up there. It's there. If the word Kareth means to be cut off. It's like God brings, or to hide away. God brings Elijah onto the scene of history. He speaks to Ahab. He speaks to Jezebel. He makes the decree of God. And then God says to him, now I want you to turn, go eastward, go down to the ravine. I want you to stay there. I'm cutting you off now from where I've brought you. I'm going to bring you to another place. And see, when you're there, I will get the ravens to feed you there. When you're there, I will get the river to run by you there. And there is where I will bless you. And the first thing I want us to notice is he went there. There's a lot of theres in this sermon. But he went there because God told him to go there. And God was like, he was as precise as a sat-nav. He says, I want you to go here. I want you to turn eastward. I want you to go down to the ravine. You know, Kareth ravine, that's near Jordan. That's where I want you to go. He pinpointed the position of where there is. God told him to go. Where is there? There is wherever God has told you to go. There is wherever God has directed you. There is usually the place of God's choosing and not ours. So if God says, see there, I'm going to send Raven's boy to drop food for you day and night. If he would have gone coming out and going westward, God's provision was eastward. God's provision was in that place. God's victory was there. God's provision was there. The ravens were going to drop the food there and not somewhere else of Elijah's choosing. Now, it's very important that we understand that because there's so many people that are giving out God saying, God, why are you not doing this? Why have I not got victory? And he's saying, because you're not there. You've chose where there is. You've not listened to my there. Are you there yet? And there is usually a place of obedience. There is usually the place of preparation. There is usually the place of humility. There is usually a place of being close to God, revelation of God. There is like a place of cleansing, a place of revival. And this morning I want to ask you a question. Are you there? Are you there where God wants you to be? You might say, where it is there? Well, I want to tell you that for Elijah there was a brook. For Noah, there was an ark. For Daniel, there was a lion's den. For Jesus, there was a cross. For it was God's there. For Paul, there was a prison. In other words, there is a place in your life that finds you where God has placed you. There is his perfect will. There is where his life flows. There is where victory comes. There is where provision comes. There is where protection comes. There could be a ministry. There could be a job situation. There could be a position that's got up for grabs in a job, in a situation. There could be a place of prayer. There could be a place of believing that God is going to do something and I'm not going to move from there till God tells me to move from there. There could be starting something new. There could be serving somewhere that is obscure. I want to be in the limelight and God says, no, I'm sending you there to the valley. But it's there where God will make man a woman of God. It is there where God's provision goes. If it's not God's there, get out of there and get there. And when you get there, stay there. Dig your heels in there. Buy a house there. Buy a grave there. Whatever you do, just stay there. Because that's where God's provision is. And that's where God's presence is. I was in America just there last week and I met this man. We had a conversation. Myself and Sharon went for a cup of coffee with him. If there could be your job. I hate this job. God says, stay there. If he says it. I was talking to these two men. They heard me speaking. They asked us out for a cup of coffee. Me and Sharon sat there. And we started sharing stories of how we got saved. And I said, what about you two? Because they want to hear the Irish accent and all that. And I was like, what about your story? And how did you? So Jeff told us one. And I said, what about you, Brian? And in the course of the conversation, Jeff had said that he goes to Sweden to some ministry there that he knows. And he says, the next time I'm over there, I'll pop over to Ireland and I'll come to see you. That'd be great. What about you, Brian? He goes, or I can't go. And so Jeff says, well, he's not allowed out of the country. So anyway, being Irish and nosy, I'm like, why? Anyway, we got in the car and he started to tell me his story. And because of, he had a high level security clearance in the military and he ended up smuggling drugs in from Mexico and got caught. So they took his license away and everything. Or he's not allowed a passport. He says, what happened after that? He ended up on the streets. He was mugging this man. Another man came out somewhere and he hit the man a punch. He thought he knocked the man out, but the man got up off the ground and shot him in the head. Shot him in the head. He says he was lying on the ground. He could see the blood squirting out the side of his head. He says, I knew I was bleeding out. I knew I was going to go. The ambulance came. They put him in the ambulance. The paramedic is in the back. The paramedic says to him, son, you're bleeding out. You're going to die. I need to ask you one question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that he died on the cross for your sin? Brian responds to God in his heart. 2 weeks later, he says he wakes up. 2 weeks later, he leaves the hospital. Days, he doesn't know where to go because he was homeless. And he walks out on the street. Two Christians walk up to him. One says, do you know Jesus loves you? And the other one says, he has a plan for your life. They brought him into rehab. Brian has planted 28 churches in Pittsburgh. You know why? Do you know why? Because someone was there. Someone was there when he needed him. Someone was there when the message of the gospel. And when he was there, that ambulance man told him the gospel. And now Brian is there. And now the churches they planted is there, nearly everywhere. Because somebody was there. Stay there. Find your there. Know where your there is. Stay there because the provision of God is there. And Elijah says of his story that the birds, the ravens came along every day and evening. I don't know what you know about ravens, but they don't drop bread and they don't drop meat. Ravens are scavengers. You know, ravens are the ones like that, like crows, but they have a little like darker color hood on them. The hoods. They survive in the hood. They're sneaky. They take things that's not theirs. They sneak in. I kid you not, when I lived in the flats, around one Christmas time, we lived on the bottom flat in Dobbins Barn, just up the road, and someone had threw a carcass of a turkey out the window into the big field out the back, and people done that because we like to look after the old birds in the flats, you know. Someone threw it out from the top balcony or something. It was in the field, and this seagull was just standing on it, pecking away at it. He was king of the castle. And if you know about seagulls, now they're cranky, aren't they? You ever hear them? They this big roar out of them, like. And so they're always looking for rain because that's when they eat all this stuff. And anyway, so the seagull was eating away. I was looking out the window, and it was about six ravens came over. They seen him, right? But they walked over like this. Like, I was like, there's a mugger gonna go on here, I'm telling you. Like, sure, they were looking around, see if there's any police coming or something. But they were moving in on this. And the seagull sees them, right? And he lets a big roar at them. And they just step back a little bit. But one of them went around the other way. And he was walking. He was the brave one. He was sent out to do the business. So he walked up to the carcass. And the seagull was like giving a load. And the seagull, you know, like one of those people that they give out and give out and give out and give out and give out. And then they end up just running at them. You know those people? Well, that's what was like the seagull. He was like roaring at them. And the raven wasn't moving. So he gets off the carcass and runs after him. While he's running after him, the other five runs in. And they start picking away. The seagull looks back and runs back to frying them off. That went on forever. They tormented the life out of the poor seagull. Ravens don't give anything up. But it's amazing God can even change the nature of a worse enemy to bless you when you're there. Those who hate you, God can change the heart to bless you. Those who are against you are now for you. God's provision is there. It's a great big giveaway. Tomo was telling me out in Finglas that someone gave them, I don't know, a bounty of chocolate. Why is God's blessing on him? Because we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be there. We're supposed to be out there. We're supposed to be telling girls that are thinking of committing suicide that there's a way out. That's where we're supposed to be. That's where we're at our best. That's why we have these stories. Because I want to tell you, if we ever become a church that just sits there and don't end up out there, we will stop hearing the stories of God in our midst. There is God's provision. So one of our questions has to be, if God's not, provision is not in our life, are we there? Or do we need to adjust? Do we need to just adjust? Do we need to put, you know, when you go into the sat-nav, you go to the resume, like the place, the recents, where you've been, and you just press recents, oh yeah, that's where I've been. That's where I left. That's where I need to get back to. And that's where God's provision is. And also, God's victory is there. Elijah brought a great victory into the midst of the people of Israel. Why? Because he was there. You know, David was there. David was there minding the sheep. He was in an obscure place. And Samuel came to anoint the next king, and he says, there has to be someone else. Where is he that's supposed to be here? And they said, he's there. And he said, go there and get him and bring him here. And then when he came here, he got anointed and God sent him there. Where was there to mind the sheep again? You think anointed king, surely I should be on TV now. God sent him there to mind the sheep because he wanted to see would he take orders to be there where God wanted him to be. And while he was there, his dad called him back to here. And when he called him back to here, he says, bring this cheese to your brothers who was on the front line and see what's going on there. So David, I want you to leave here and I want you to go there. And he was a man under orders. See, if you're not a man under orders, you won't go there. You'll just go where you want to be or I want to be. And God, the father says to him, go there, and he goes there. And while he was there, a giant came out. Because a giant thought that was his there, but that was really David's there. Because he went there because God told him to go there. And when you go there and there's a giant there, God's victory is there. And it's only when you're there will you experience God's victory. Because some people want to see God's victory while they're sitting on the backside. But God's victory is when you go to the battle line. You can't kill a giant from an armchair. The most safest place for David to be was right there on the front line. It's the safest place for him. It wasn't in the comfort zone. It wasn't in his own surroundings. It was right there. And the giant comes out. And it was there he slayed the giant. It was there a great victory was won. It was there that he cut the head off the giant. It was there. And it's only there. God's victory, God's protection is there. That's why he hid him away. I'm hiding you for your safety. I'm taking you off the scene because I want you there. But there was a famine and there was a drought. No, but when you're there, I'll feed you. Daniel knew about God's protection when he was there. He was in a lion's den. We don't want to be in lion's den, do we? But if God has placed you there, it's there he'll protect you. He can close the mouths of lions because it's God's there. Have you ever read the story? The king didn't want them there. The king like shouts in behind the rock and goes, Daniel, are you there? Daniel, I didn't want to put you there. I pray that the God of heaven will save you there. Daniel shouts back, I'm all right. We have slept with the lions all night. But I'm all right. Because I'm here because God has put me here. And while I'm here, where God here is, he'll protect me. And the king turned to God. Because how could you not? There is a place for you. There is a place for me. He said to Moses, come up here. And he pointed to the rock and the cliff. He goes, there is where you stand. There is where I want you to be. And his presence went by. Your there might look totally different than mine. But there is where God's presence will be. And there is where God's victory will be. And there is where God's provision will be. And there is where God's protection will be. So if you're not there, get there. And when you get there, stay there. There was a man speaking at the conference. He's a pastor in Iraq, in Baghdad. And that was his there. He came and he took him off his land. And God flooded the land. And he placed him back there. Because all them other people ran off. He says to the Lord, Lord, will you give me treasures out of darkness? Quoting Isaiah. He ends up in the red prison, which was Saddam Hussein's prison. Nobody leaves the prison alive. And he was there. And while he was there, he got so depressed that he wouldn't even eat. He just wanted to die because he knew that that's the end result for him. And a Shiite Muslim, who was also in the prison, he was in a cell 6x8 with 6 Shiite Muslims. And it was there that he wouldn't eat. And it was there that a Muslim brought him over some food to eat. You're going to die if you don't eat. And it was there the Lord spoke to him. These are your treasures in darkness. It was there with these 6 Shiite Muslims that he started to preach the gospel. It was there that God gave him favor. It was there that they listened. Why? Because it was God's there. God puts you in prison. God allows you to go to prison. Ask Daniel. As Paul, as Silas, but if it's his there, that prison cell becomes like heaven on earth. That lion's den becomes heaven on earth. That job becomes a thing like heaven on earth. That situation becomes a thing like heaven on earth if it's God's there. There is God's peace. There is God's joy. There is God's hope. There is God's power. There is God's victory. There is God's will for your life. Don't try to find another there. That's why church hopping is so wrong. That's why it's so wrong, because people are there when they're supposed to be there. All over this city and all over the nations, there's people that are supposed to be sitting in their churches right where God placed them, and they get the hoof and they move, and they go, why is this not happening, that's not happening? Because you're not there. Doesn't matter, I'll get the hoof. Try to get thrown into lions. It's very important. No matter what it is, if God is telling you to forgive someone, there is where you'll find the grace of God. There. Not bitterness talk, not bitching about somebody. There's no grace in it. It's only there where God tells you to be and you forgive. The grace of God is there to help you to forgive and to release you to forgive. It's there. I remember one time, I'll finish with this. Myself and Sharon, for I reckon 5-6 years, we lived by faith. What's that mean? I was working, I got my job to go to Bible college with no money, no income, 3 kids, then having 4 kids. And we both felt that we were to go this way and just live by faith. I mean, money coming in from nowhere. That's why I was looking out the window at that turkey corpse. Seagull, boom. It's mine. And we had ravens dropped by in the form of people that would sneak to wearing leather box and drop money in, especially when we needed it. And God told me, something one day. He told me to buy a bass and wash bass and a towel and some fresh socks and soap and to go over and wash two people's feet. And I didn't know the reasons why. And but what I struggled with was I had a fiver left, £5 left, and that's all I had. I didn't know where the next money was coming from, and I struggled with letting my fiver go. I was like, I use an old basin. Do I have to buy the socks? And eventually, I said to myself to God and went up to Dunn's, opened the Cumberland Shopping Centre and bought the stuff. I went over to this couple's flat. And I says, look, I know this may sound a bit strange, but I felt the Lord told me to come here and to wash your feet, you and your husband. And so anyway, they agreed, and the wife sat on the chair, and I got down at water, and lovely soapy water, warm, and laid out the towel to make sure I dried her feet properly, and put on the socks afterwards. And I went and I'd done this, and while I was there, the presence of God came. While I was there, I just started crying. There was just tears. No, I wasn't like making sounds. There was just tears streaming down my face as I washed. Sorry, I washed the husband's feet first. Put the socks on. Then I was washing the wife's feet. The tears are streaming down my face. I looked up and the tears are streaming down her face. She says, no, please forgive me. Me and my husband have been talking and ripping your back. Me and my husband have spread gossip about you and rumors, untruths, by the way. She says, I beg you to forgive us. I didn't know anything about it. It was there that the presence of God came. It was there that the conviction of God came. It was there that the liberation came. Not for me, for them. But it was while I was there, I felt the presence of God. It was while I was there, I was totally like in heaven. And God might be saying to you, I want you to forgive somebody. It's there where God will meet you. He might say, I want you to wash someone's feet. It will be there. I want you to give something. It will be there. I want you to comfort someone. It will be there that God will meet you. Not what you think is there. God says to Elijah, get up, go eastward. Go to the Brook River. Go to the Kerith River. Majority, and it's there. So we have to find it there. And then we're there, we stay there. And do what God wants us to do there. Amen? And maybe you've moved away from there. I just want to call you back to there. I just want to call you back. Maybe there, somewhere else, because a million reasons. Maybe you're just not there because you don't want to be there. Well, come out of your misery and get back to there. Because I guarantee you, you're not where God wants you to be. You're miserable. It's simple. We've been down this road too long, 25 years. But when you're there where God wants to be, I'm telling you, the world could be falling around you. And you have your joy, your hope, and your peace. Because it's God's there. So, Father, we thank you. Speak to us, Lord, right now. Speak to us. And I guarantee you that some people have to make real hard decisions today. Because getting there can cost you. And getting there may mean you have to let go or give up or give in. But I want to tell you, it's there that God will reach you. And that's everything. And that is everything. Take the whole world but give me Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me, give me Jesus. Don't none go with me. Don't none should follow. Give me Jesus. If everyone doesn't agree, just give me Jesus. I want to be there. Can we please stand, and you know, the worship team can come back. I want to get there. I want to get back there to that place of faith. I want to get back there to that place of boldness. Back to that place of commitment. back to that place of holiness. I want to get back there to making the right decisions. See, when you're there, when I look back, I don't know how we lived for 5 or 6 years by faith, but when we were there, I'm telling you, super duper. It's like His grace is there. I don't know many times Sharon's dad came over to give my kids money for going to school, and he didn't know that he was dropping meat and bread. That was the bus fare to school. Lord, where's the bus fare going to come? Well, he had a raven called Freddie who came every single morning. When you're there, see, when you're not there, it looks hard. But when you're there, you're in the flow. You're in the grace flow. You're in the flow of the river. You're in the flow of the blessing. It looks hard when you're standing on the sideline. How did they do that? How did they pray for people to get healed? How did they lead people to the Lord? Well, that's because you're standing there when you should be standing there. But when you get in the flow, moving in the Holy Ghost. So moving in the Spirit. You can go to the best pastor in the world, but it's not there where God has you. It doesn't matter what wisdom man gives. You can hear the best sermon, best worship song. If it's not there where God has you, it'll move you for a moment, but it won't sustain you. Guys, I just want to call us to the front. I just want to call us to. I just want to respond to God. I just want you to respond to God. I know I need to respond to God. I just want to be there. I want to be present there. I want to be found there. I want to talk from there. I want to walk from there. I want to sing my song from there. So you can come forward during this song just as a way of moving to where God wants you. Because God honors the movement. God honors the movement. You're supposed to be in the ministry and you're not there. Get there. Clean that part of your life up and get there. The thing that has robbed you from there, throw it back to the enemy. I'm going there. There's no condemnation there. There's no guilt there. There's freedom there. There may be